She has a schedule that's continues on, and we're grateful. We're grateful for the opportunity that God has given us to support that ministry. We are in Romans. We are in Romans chapter 1, and I was threatened heartily and given permission to tell you that we're going to have another grandbaby, and it's by Mickey. So yesterday I was threatened tremendously, but she gave me permission this morning. She said, okay, I called everybody last night. So we're going to have another little one here. Our tribe growth, and it's not even Chris. Can you believe it? I'm waiting for her to throw a shoe now. Yeah. That's where, there it is. Yeah. Yeah, nobody cooked beer around her, okay? That was the dead giveaway right there. She can't stand the smell of that. Okay, we're in Romans chapter 1. We're going to do something a little different, maybe, because we're going through 11 verses today, and don't laugh. We're going to try to get through 11 verses today, and it's going to be just a little different. Most of you know that when I preach, I go verse by verse and word by word, and it's kind of that way, but there's some concepts in here that are, it kind of covers the whole section. And I hate to leave this, go through it in a couple of weeks, because we're going to be here this week. Next week, we'll be gone to Minnesota. And the next week, Ron Hudson will be here. And so this is missionary month. This is fun. But Ron will be here in 2 weeks. And so it's going to be 3 weeks before I get back to this. And I kind of want to, because it's all put together. Anyway, we're going to be going from verse 22 to the end of the chapter today, Romans 1. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for giving us this picture of the consequences, the results that come from your wrath. Lord, thank you for giving us the truth of your word. Father, it's how we mess it up so much sometimes. It's amazing. But it's because so many have replaced you, Lord, with something else. Father, we love you and we honor your word. We honor who you are, what you have made us, Father, as your children. We look to you for wisdom and guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Where we've come to here, Paul, the writer, has written on the theme of justification by faith. And that's the overall theme as we're going through this. He's already introduced himself, and the church is a very important church and well known for their faith. But what we're learning here is he's going from chapter 1, about verse 16, on to the end of chapter 3, and he's explaining different groups of people. Those who want nothing to do with God, those who are good moral people, those who are Jews, and then those who are very Orthodox Jews, very religious Jews. And he goes through all of these groups of people because he wants to show us, he wants to show these people and us in the process that there are none righteous. And he comes to that conclusion. There are none righteous in and of themselves. It all has to be because of the grace of God, because of what Jesus Christ has done. And what we talked about this morning of propitiation, that word that means satisfaction, that comes at the end of chapter 3, that Jesus Christ was the satisfaction for our sins, not us. There's nothing we can do to gain that. But what we're looking at here is that first group of people, those who have those who desire nothing to do with God. In fact, he starts in verse 18, and he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness." And he goes through and talks about that. But that wrath of God is the key, all right? That's what we're going to be looking at as we go on, because that's the, in the context, that's what he's explaining as he goes through this section of Scripture. That wrath of God, the reason for it, we looked at that a little bit last week, and then in verse 22, he says, "Professing to be wise, they became fools." Professing is asserting or declaring to be wise, to be without God, wise without God, wise in their own theology and their own making. They became, the word "became" is in the passive voice. Foolishness was put on to them because they're seeking to do this without acknowledging what we talked about last week, God in creation. A lot of the statistics we looked at, you can see easily that God is the creator. And he has made that evident within them. That's what we learned about last week. And yet, the whole deal is they're suppressing, and mankind has done this, to suppress the truth, to hold it down, to hold it under, to hide it. And so we have the result of that, the reason for his wrath. And then look in verse 23. Because here's what, his wrath is for something very specific, and here's what it is. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds, four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. The essence of God's wrath, and we look through Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, Paul speaks about his wrath oftentimes. It's hard because there's so much here that I preach about of God's forgiveness and God's love and his mercy and his grace, and it's all there, and it's all true. God's wrath is also there, and it's true. It's not that God is wrathful against people. I'll explain that later. Okay? Because God has justified the world. God has made salvation available to the world, and all there is to accept. All there is to receive that. But his wrath is true in the consequences that come because of it. And I want to look at that wrath as we go through it. But it's because of this, verse 23, they've exchanged the glory of the incorruptible. The word incorruptible means immortal. What makes God, God, they've exchanged that glory for an image, a likeness in the form of men, birds, four-footed animals, and creepy things. Okay? Literally, creepy, crawly things. All right? It's kind of a descending order. But when people, and they've done it throughout the centuries, throughout since creation, when people have exchanged what's true around them, keeping it in the context, what they can see around them, because there's a tree. How did that tree get there? There are animals. There are sophisticated animals. How did all of that happen? When they exchanged the truth that there had to be an intelligent creator, there had to be God, when they find another theory, exchange that for a lie, that's when God's wrath kicks in, okay? Now, I want you to see that because it says it over and over in this passage. It is because they suppress the truth because there is no other truth. So they have to make their own truth up. And we've seen theories over and over and over to try and make up somehow to explain all that God has created. But since they cannot see God and will not profess what they can see is from God, they make a religion of what they can see. And that's humanism. That's all sorts of religions, but humanism is the base part of that religion. And all of this comes from refusing to see the truth of God, putting their own minds above the truth of God. Putting their own mind, I want you to remember that, putting their own minds above the truth of God. Those who ignore this truth and hide it and then make their own truth and religion, that's where God's wrath is shown, okay? So, he starts out in verse 18, talks about the wrath of God being shown. Now he's explaining how, all right? Because, and so that was the reason behind the wrath. Now let's look at the act of God's wrath. Most of the time when we think of God's wrath, what do we think of? We think of a tornado, or we talked about it in Sunday school, a natural disaster. Or if it's just too dry here, well, God is angry. I talked to someone this week, someone who has cancer, and they said, you know, I've always thought that God is punishing me by giving me cancer. That God has punished me because of this. And so I had the opportunity to explain God's love to this individual. It was really good, but that's the natural perception that we have. Is that God's wrath, and because I've done something wrong, so God is wrathful. And we looked at God's wrath last week, and we saw the ultimate example of God's wrath was on the cross. When God's wrath was poured off out against sin, on his son. But he did that to justify people, so that he is not wrath, his anger is satisfied against people. But his anger, his wrath is still shown. And I want you to see that. The act of his wrath. The problem that we have is we don't view God's wrath in the way that it is presented. We view his wrath as God punishing people for something, or punishing this, or getting back at them, or something like that. But in fact, we have a tendency to blame, well, Adam started it, right? I mean, in the garden, what did he say? That woman that you gave me, okay? So we have a tendency to shift the blame all over the place. But that's the natural tendency of it. And then we have a tendency to look at God being mad at us, okay? Because we deserve it. So we put all of that upon God and his wrath. But I want you to see what God's wrath is. Look what it says. Verse 24. He says it in verse 24, 26, and 28. He says the same thing. It's the same word. Look what he says. Therefore, God gave them over. Verse 26. For this reason, God gave them over. Verse 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over. You see that? And every time it's used, it's not used because they are sinning. Every time it's used because they are suppressing the truth. Because they are saying, you know what? That can't be, there can't be a God. Because if there were a God, I would be accountable. And I don't want accountability. Therefore, I will come up with a different God. Israel did it. Remember the golden calf? It's been done over and over, and I will come up with a different God. Today, it's not so much an image sitting on a wall as it is humanism saying, I am God. What's the greatest, what's the easiest thing to see today? You need to do it your own way. Get what you after want. Go after what you want. Be your own boss. Be your own self. Be your own God, basically. It's seen that way today. But three times here, when something's mentioned three times in one passage, you take note of it. Three times it says, God gave them over. Do you know what God is doing in his wrath, what he does? He doesn't say, you know what, I'm going to send this fireball on that town. What he says is, you want it that bad? Go ahead. You want it that bad? Go ahead. And there's a reason behind that. Look what it says in verse 26. What is he talking about? Verse 26. That's the wrong chapter. Let's go back to this chapter. Okay, verse 24. Verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity. He gave them over to impurity. How? in the lust of their hearts. In order that something would happen. Okay, go down to verse 26. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. In verse 28, just as they did not... God gave them over, the last part of the verse, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are not proper. You see, he gave them over to what they were desiring to begin with, what they wanted so badly. And he gave them over to that. Giving them over simply means he allowed them to have what they wanted and craved, but only after they said, you know what? You are not God. There is not a God. This creation cannot be showing God because I want to be in charge. Therefore, they made their own God. They made their own way of religion, their own way of salvation. And so God gave them over. That is his wrath. Not throwing something at them, but giving them what they desired, what they burned for the most. And what happened is, look what happened in verse 24. So their bodies would be dishonored among them. And here's why. Oh, this is good. Verse 25. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. There's a definite article in front of that word. It's not a lie. It's the lie. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie. What lie? The lie that was the first lie given in the garden. In the Garden of Eden. Why did Eve and Adam partake of that thing? You and I know it's a watermelon, but let's call it an apple. All right? Why did they partake of it? Because of the three things mentioned in the New Testament, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the sinful pride of life. Lust of the eyes, it looked like it was good. Lust of the flesh, it would be to make one wise. Sinful pride of life, I will know good and evil just like God. These are all the things that Satan put in there, tempted them with. And the biggest one is the one that Satan was tempted with and fell with. Remember that? I will be like the Most High God. So the lie is that we can be like God. We can be like God. There's the lie. That's the lie that is spoken of here. They exchanged the truth of God that he is God, that everything he has made is tremendous, everything he has made is sufficient, and exchanged that for, I can do better than that. I can think better than that. You know how prevalent that is. And look what happens. They exchanged, verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. And the words worshipped and served, literally, they're two different words, but they both mean worshipped. They worshipped and worshipped. They worshipped and worshipped. And that involves service. But what they worshipped and worshipped, it was what was created, the creature, rather than the creator who is blessed forever. That just simply gives Paul's admonition there. But if you go to verse 26, he says, for this reason, God gave them over to what? Degrading passions. So he's given them over in verse 24 to in the sphere of the lust of their hearts to impurity. Now he's given them over to degrading passions. Where do the degrading passions come from? The flesh, what people were born into. This is natural man. This is everybody. Okay, I want you to see this. This isn't someone who's simply a moral person, someone who thinks there is a God somewhere. This is someone who's absolutely said, no, there's no God. I mean, if there's a God, he's me. Right? This is someone who has replaced God. Because every time it says it in here, it's talking about someone who has suppressed the truth and replaced God. In verse 26, the result of that, degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. That word burned is literally on fire. On fire, a deep, deep desire, which is not given by God, towards one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. By withholding his hand, what he's talking about is by withholding his hand. In other words, by saying, okay, this is what you want so much that you've replaced me. You can have it. By saying that, sin becomes easier and easier because there's no excuse not to sin. Sin becomes greater and more tempting because there's nothing to withhold. When you take God out of the equation and you are God, whatever pleases yourself becomes the norm. So with this, with the natural flowing result of this is that women exchange their natural function for that which is unnatural. And we're talking with intimate relationships here. God doesn't force the consequences of sin on anyone, but he doesn't stop them when there is no honor to God. And it says in the next verse, men... consuming desire, burning desire with other men, committing indecent acts. And I want you to see the end of that verse, verse 27. Receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. I believe this is 27. I've gone off of my notes here, and I had some... God doesn't cause this. It's these people that are destroying themselves unless they see the truth of God in creation. Receiving in their persons, it's not so... It's the... We have many diseases that have come from this, from this type of activity. And it's come to the place where I can't... Or you can't, or we're not even allowed to say a lot of this. Why? To blame AIDS upon this community. Why? Because even though that's the origin of this, if you go to South Africa, you can see that evidently. But we can't say that because evil is being called good, and good is being called evil. And it's especially happening in this country. And there will be some day when I will stand here and read this scripture and I will be accused of hate speech. And in fact, that could even be now. I could be charged with that. Because I have read the scripture that says there is a due penalty within themselves. And it has happened over and over. We had a up in Minnesota when we went to the church up there. We were living up there. We had a young man come in who had AIDS. And he had been in a homosexual lifestyle for many years. And he had AIDS, and he had come to Jesus Christ. And his testimony was riveting. It was tremendous. The fact that his life was so turned around by this. I think his name was Joe, wasn't it? Joe. And he ended, I think it was 2 years later he died. But it was so eye-opening in the... And what was so eye-opening is what the conclusion I wanted to come to, which I can't wait till the end to tell you. But the fact is, God is not punishing sin. God isn't punishing this sin of homosexuality. He's not punishing people for the sin. God in his wrath has held back and allowed people to follow their own desires. And this is the consequence of it. And even in this consequence, even in God holding back, what is he doing? He is allowing people to go through something that will draw them to him. You see, even in his wrath, there is grace. Even in his wrath, there is mercy. Because God, with this young man Joe, he would not have come to know Christ in the same way if he had not gone through all of that. And he came to know Jesus Christ and had a wonderful testimony. And his life was given out to God because He saw God's loving hand of mercy. He didn't want it before that. He followed his own way. He was his own God. He followed his own desires, and he came to the end of that, receiving the just due penalty for that. He came to the end of himself in that and had to look up to God. There is the point of God's wrath, to draw people to himself. Keep going. Keep going through here. Verse 27, that was verse 20. I just skipped a whole bunch of stuff. The results of his wrath. Let's keep going. Verse 28, I think. Where are we at? I'm in the wrong chapter. I keep going to chapter 2 here. Verse 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, there it shows again that this is talking about those who have said there is no God. They didn't acknowledge God. And that word acknowledge God, fascinating. Fascinating. Literally, it means this. Did like, to put to the test. This is what it means. To put to the test for the purpose of approving and finding that person tested meets the specifications prescribed to put one's approval on him. The human race put God to the test for the purpose of approving him should he meet the specifications that it laid down for a God who would be to its liking. And finding that he did not meet those specifications, it refused to approve him as the God to be worshipped or have him in its knowledge. That's what that word means. That mankind put God to the test with a certain set of specifications, and God flunked in mankind's mind. Therefore, they set him aside. Look what it says, 28. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, they set him aside any longer. God gave them over again to a depraved mind to do these things which are not proper. Now, in verse 29 through 31, it gives a whole list. And I thought about, taking 1 week and just going through each one. I don't think we need to. If you look at that list, they're pretty self-explanatory. But in all of this list, they are sins that are the result of his giving them over, not the cause. I want you to see that. All of these sins that he mentions here, and let's go through them, 29. Filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, envy, full of envy, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they're gossips. You notice how he put that right in the middle? They're gossips. Whisperers is actually the word. Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, all of these things. You look at all of these things, they're very obviously against God's heart. But I want you to notice that they are not the cause of God's wrath. Because in our minds, that would be the cause of God getting angry. God's angry because of all of these things. No. No. They're the result of God saying, you want to live that way? Go ahead. Do it. But know this. I love you and I'm always here waiting and wanting to draw you back to myself. Over and over in Scripture, it says that God loves us and he wants us. He wants the world. He has reconciled the world to himself. He has justified the world to himself. And all there is to receive that, to accept that free gift of salvation. And he wants that. And he allows people to come to the place where there is no light of day, where they have to look up. But his wrath is not because of this sin. His wrath is to withhold, to not stop people from getting what they want, taking whatever they desire. And in the process of that, don't you love it with an unorganized preacher here? MacArthur and his... that's not it. Anyway, this is a good quote anyway. Man cannot stop this slide, the degradation, because he is innately a slave to sin. That's in Romans 6. And the more he pursues the deceiving efforts at self-reformation apart from God, the more he becomes enslaved to sin, whose ultimate end is eternal death. C.S. Lewis says this, The lost enjoy forever the horrible freedom that they have demanded and are therefore self-enslaved. The lost enjoy forever the horrible freedom they have demanded and are therefore self-enslaved. Look at the end of this, verse 32. And although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So not only is it that that this mentality wants to do these things, but they also give hearty approval. And the word hearty approval is agree or to encourage others. The ultimate degradation is the encouragement of others to do and to live in the same misery. By giving them over, by God's wrath, I want you to see that it is not punishment, that it is not seeking to hurt. God's wrath is to heal. God's wrath is to allow people to live in the dirt and the slime that they want to live in so that they can see there's a better way. And you know who he's given that job to? Christians. What are we as Christians? We are ambassadors. We are lights, not lights, luminaries. Get that word right. We're luminaries. We're glow-in-the-dark toys. We hold our life up to Jesus Christ and soak in his life and show that life to the world. And we're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And what is our message as ambassadors? Be reconciled to him. We have the opportunity, the greatest opportunity in the world, to show the world Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what is going on in this verse 29 through 31, I believe. 29 through 31, all of those things that are happening in someone's life, guess what we get to do? Jesus Christ has a better way. Jesus Christ is a better way, and he loves you. And he wants you to come to him. He wants you to accept the free gift of salvation he has paid for. He's done it. He's given you. That's the point, I think, that he's trying to get across. Yes, there is wrath of God, but it's not because of this sin. It's because people don't acknowledge him as God, won't honor him as God, don't want anything to do with him as God, even though they know that he is God. Because the first part of this, what we talked about last week, says that God put a knowledge of himself within them. Within them. He knows that. Or they know that. And yet they refuse to acknowledge that. Not only that, but according to verse 32, they know the ordinance of God. They know what is right. They know that this is wrong. And yet they encourage others to follow. They encourage others to do so. Isn't that amazing? We look at God's wrath as being vengeful. God looks at his wrath as being graceful. God looks at his wrath as withholding so that people can wallow around in the muck that they want to wallow around in and find out that it is not fulfilling. That it is not fulfilling. That there is nothing there that fills that God hole within them. God's wrath is gracious. God's wrath is merciful. God's wrath is not against people. It's not, and by the way, wrath, the to withhold here, with give them over, is not the same thing as abandon. Okay? It's not the same thing. He does this to draw people, not to abandon them, but to draw people so that they see the problems and seek out the grace that he gives. The idea that we have of God's wrath and the world has of God's wrath is warped. God's wrath results in people punishing themselves by chasing the perceived pleasures that will ultimately kill them. God doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. There is never, and by the way, here's your message. There is never no hope. There's never no hope. God has always given hope. God's love can break down any barrier, and he desires to do just that. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it talks about the fact that some of us, it gives a list of evil, and it says, but some of you were this way, but now you've been washed, you've been cleansed, you've been sanctified. All of that has happened, and you've been cleaned by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the message that we can give forth. Is there a problem today with the homosexual movement? Is there some? Yes, there are issues. We have state issues. We have all of this. And is that why God is angry? No. No. That's how God is helping us to see the need to show others Jesus Christ. That's how God is even spurring us Christians along, to help us to see the need, the needs that people really have, and how they need the love of Jesus Christ. Folks, this is when we're ending out this section of the people who do not want anything to do with God. Next week, in 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at another group of people. All right? But in all of this, I want you to know that we live in a world that is not punished by God, but are receiving in themselves the due penalty of what they want to live in. And there is a better way. And we have that. And we can show them that. And as soon as they get to rock bottom, we talk about rock bottom in Sunday school and how it's different for everyone. And as soon as we get there, we cannot look anywhere but up. Then it becomes very apparent what up is. Because God has put himself in nature. Becomes very apparent. And we get the opportunity to share that with people. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much.